This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. Let's jump right into this. Gas lines are long. I saw them this morning since 5:45 when I left the house. People were out there already. Grocery stores are getting crowded. Parking lots are crowded. This is the time that we have to exhibit emotional intelligence and patience. Emotional intelligence, the ability to manage one's own emotions and the emotions of others. You know the trigger points. Just don't touch them. Walk right by them. Make this easy. Make this pleasurable. And we'll all get through this together. But that is all according to what Brooke Lazer is going to tell us from WWL-TV meteorologist. The pressure's on you, Brooke. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. You know what? That's great advice. We always say be prepared, not scared. And of course, we're familiar with these experiences here in Louisiana. So the latest advisory just came in at 10 o'clock, and it really hasn't changed a whole lot in terms of impacts aside from storm surge. We have seen a slight jog east, which brings the storm inland in likely either St. Mary or Terrebonne Parish. So right now the primary time frame is going to be late morning, early afternoon on Wednesday for landfall, anticipating that into the noon time frame itself. And we'll continue to see impacts starting around daybreak for the city and winds picking up overnight tonight. So you do have all day today to finish those final preparations, rain chances of course across the area, but that's going to be the primary impact overall.
Brooke, what are we anticipating as it relates to rainfall? Any feeling there?
Yeah, right now we're thinking about 3 to 6 inches in the metro with isolated spots possible in higher amounts, of course, but that's pretty much the blanket forecast for the majority of the area. And we were talking about it. This storm's reminding us of Zeta in terms of its structure. You're going to have a wet and windy front side, and then on the back side of that eye wall, it'll be drier and windier. So that's going to help us with rainfall. And of course, we all know how our infrastructure in New Orleans can be. So the less, the better.
Speaking of wind, any feelings as it relates to velocity?
Yeah, we do think we'll likely have tropical storm winds moving inland in the overnight time frame, and then those gusts a bit higher, anywhere from potentially 50 to 70 miles an hour in the metro. Of course, across the coastline, you're going to have higher winds and therefore the concern for some minor coastal flooding. So you could definitely see some 70 to 90 mile per hour gusts there, especially where this is coming inland and just on the eastern side. But you're not going to have as high of rainfall amounts on the eastern side in comparison on your traditional setup, given that unique center. And of course, overnight tonight, we're also going to have a tornado threat as those outer bands start moving inland. So we'll be watching that closely as well.
Brooke, early onset, they were predicting that the storm was going to move at a relatively quick pace. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we've seen the pressure fall a little bit over the last 6 hours, and the winds haven't quite caught up just yet, but they're going to as we get into the rest of today. So that's why, of course, we're anticipating a hurricane within the next 24 hours, likely a landfall as either a high-end Cat 1 or a low-end Category 2, and we always say prepare for a category higher.
And what were the predictions as to how fast the storm was going to move?
So right now it's picked up about 3 miles an hour. It was around 5 just a few hours ago, and now we've seen 8 miles an hour within the last update. So this one should be out of here as we're looking to tomorrow night and certainly by Thursday morning, which is good news. It's not going to be like in Ida where there's a 24-hour period of the storm moving north through Louisiana. But it is certainly going to continue north up towards Jackson once it's past us. So if people are thinking about where to go, east or west today would be better than north.
Are conditions favorable for the storm to gain in speed?
They are. We are starting to see a little bit less wind shear. Overnight, the storm collapsed in terms of its center a little bit as a result of drier air wrapping around. And we've seen that center start to pick up a bit of structure. So that's why we've had a bit of a jog to the east, and we do have more favorable conditions with the warmer Gulf of Mexico waters as well for this to pick up some speed and some intensity today. Again, not anticipating a Category 3 major storm, and that's what Zeta ended up becoming, but we're thinking a low-end hurricane without a doubt.
When we talked, you mentioned earlier about the possibility of tornadic activity developing. Mm-hmm. Are there any unique conditions that are presented now that we see that raise that concern?
No, these are pretty much going to be your outer bands as the storm moves inland. So we have those waterspouts sometimes becoming low-end EF0, EF1 tornadoes, of course, still a threat. The overall outlook from the Storm Prediction Center is going to be a marginal to slight risk. So we call that a level 1 or level 2. So nothing we're not used to, but of course, people don't always think about the tornado threat when they're thinking larger scale hurricane force winds. So something to just keep in mind as those can spin off of the outer bands.
We're visiting with Brooke Laser, WWL-TV meteorologist. Last question. A lot of folks are texting in, Brooke, and asking, how high were the winds in Ida, and how does this compare to Ida, if at all?
Okay, let me jog my memory. I remember we were definitely clocking some 90 to 112 mile per hour winds across the metro area. So this is not going to be nearly that intense. If you see a 100 mile per hour wind gust, it's going to be closer to the coastline where the center is moving inland, closer to likely St. Mary, maybe Terrebonne, and we'll continue to watch that track shift. But in the metro, I would anticipate somewhere between 50 and 70. And that's not even quite a hurricane force sustained wind if you think about Category 1, which begins with the 74 mile per hour stamp. So definitely would not compare this one to Ida as far as winds, but we know we do have a lot of people still recovering from Ida, especially down towards Lafitte and even across Lafourche. So something to keep in mind. Certainly don't want to be in a FEMA trailer or any type of structure that is not really secure.
And we don't want to be out on the streets. Stay home, play Parcheesi is always my advice. So we'll see where that goes.
New Orleanians are creative. We've got all kinds of things we can knock out with this time off of work or school.
No doubt. Brooke Laser, thank you so much for the update. WWL-TV meteorologist, I'm sure we will be talking again.
All right. Can't wait to. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be visiting with Cynthia Lee Shang, the president of Jefferson Parish, in the next break. So stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wanted to announce, folks, the Metropolitan Crime Commission Awards, Law Enforcement Awards Luncheon for Thursday, that would be the 12th of September, has been canceled. They will be sending out notices about when they will reschedule that event for. But there will not be an event at the Sheraton Hotel Thursday, September 12th, for the Metropolitan Crime Commission Law Enforcement Awards Luncheon. We were due to broadcast live from there, but because of the storm, obviously, a lot of the first responder community that attends that luncheon will not be able to do so. So out of that spirit, I think that's why they are going to delay that event. We're going to visit with Shannon Martin from Bankrate. She's an analyst there. There's a new report out that says one in four homeowners feel unprepared financially for any potential costs associated with an extreme weather event. These numbers are staggering. We'll talk about that. Liz Murrell joins us, the Louisiana Attorney General, at noon. We'll talk about the FEMA Flood Risk 2.0 case that's in the courts, deals with flood insurance for Louisiana residents, the hearings at a court in New Orleans tomorrow, and we'll talk to them, talk to Liz about that, and also we'll talk to the Attorney General about this most recent legislative committee hearing relative to post-conviction relief out of D.A. Jason Williams' office as well. We'll pop in with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. We'll get a debate preview. What do you want to hear from Trump? What do you want to hear from Harris? And I know there are a lot of things that I'd like to hear from both. I hope that we get into how is this economically going to work with some of the economic provisions that Trump is providing, as well as Harris, and we'll talk more about that later. NOLA Coalition, Don't Stop Dreaming. Derek Henderson joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll also have an update as it relates to Francine as well, as we continue to watch that storm develop, and as it they are predicting now that it will be a Category 2. We're expecting about 3 to 6 inches of rain, winds in the greater New Orleans area at 50 to 75 miles an hour, about 25 mile an hour higher winds on the high end at the coast. Will be either a Category 1 or Category 2. The expected rain landfall is going to be early morning hours of tomorrow, Wednesday. We will have a major impact here in the metro area in later morning hours, early afternoon tomorrow. So today's the day to make your preparations. You know, anticipate some power outages, obviously. We will have some minor street flooding, I'm sure. So we don't need to go down streets at 50 miles an hour to see how big of a wake we can create. That's not a hurricane sport that we really appreciate. No one does. You ruin automobiles. You push water into places that otherwise might not get water, and you end up pissing people off, quite frankly. And that's how these conflicts start out there on the street. So if we can just exhibit a little bit of patience, we'll all be much better. And the more that we can stay inside and do whatever you need to do, catch up on all those little tasks inside the house, that would probably be a good idea as well. When we come back, we will visit with the parish president of Jefferson Parish, Cynthia Lee Shang. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. As we know, there's a storm brewing out in the Gulf, and it looks like the expected landfall is going to be at some point in time tomorrow morning. Francine is the name. They say it may be a Cat 1 or a Cat 2, yet to be determined. We can expect winds along the coastline around 100 miles an hour, and here in the metro area between 50 to 75 miles an hour. But if these are sustained winds over a period of time, we know what happens. This always causes issues for us. And here to discuss that is Cynthia Lee Shang, president of Jefferson Parish. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Noel.
So I know that so many hours out from landfall, y'all start pulling the triggers on all kinds of different things that y'all are doing in your preparation. So what's top of mind for y'all today?
Well, I mean, we've been working this event for the past couple of days. Our public works team is out there, and we're just making sure, you know, all of our backup fuel works and testing the equipment, and we're going into the storm with practically full pumping capacity. We have 194, and I think two were offline, but we've already replaced them with temporary pumps. So it's been a busy couple of days. I did declare a mandatory evacuation for all of the folks outside the levee protection system, so that's Grand Isle Lafitte, Barataria, Crown Point, and Lower Lafitte. So we're hoping that everybody gets out. And then, you know, really, since I know we still have about 50 trailers in the parish, you cannot go through this storm living in a mobile home or a trailer. So we're going to open up Terrytown Gym at 641 Heritage Avenue, which is a sturdy building. We're going to open that up at 4 o'clock. So if you, at 4 p.m. today. So if you're in a mobile home or a trailer, we want you to come there. You're going to have to bring your own food and water to be able to stay there, but we will have cots. And most importantly, it's just a sturdy building to ride out this storm. And then certainly, you know, our EOC is already activated. I've been here this morning. I'll go out again and be back here tonight. But, you know, we know this drill. We just want everybody just, this is a little different, Newell, in that everybody's staying in place. And so my concern is, you will recall when we had Ida, we only lost one person during Ida, which, you know, God bless her, you and I knew her. But then we lost six other people post-Ida. So it really is the aftermath of the storm that has the a lot of hazards for us. And with so many people staying, with nearly everybody staying for this storm, we just want people to be very careful and give us the time to get out there and make the community a little safer. Let us clear the roads out. Let us make sure all the traffic signals are working. Let us remove the debris from the roadway. Certainly at night, if we have a loss of electricity, it's very dangerous conditions. So we just want people to be very, very careful post-storm especially.
Lesson learned from Ida, I guess, Cynthia, you know, check in with your neighbors, especially elderly neighbors living alone, don't have any family here. It only takes a few minutes, right, to check in with those folks, even when the storm subsides and you're able to go outside. Just go walk down the street, knock on the door, and see how they're doing.
And you know my son Gavin. I mean, he drew a diagram last night of all the neighbors we know, and he says, "I'm going to go walk the street and let them know we're staying and they're staying." And God bless him. He reminded me of my late husband Stuart, which you know, I'm getting personal, Noel, but like that's something Stuart would have done, you know. So. It was bittersweet for me to see that. But, yeah, check on your neighbors. Everybody's staying home, you know, and just enjoy the time at home. You're in a sturdy building. I said I'd clean my closets and I clean up my pantries and I do all the things that I couldn't do in regular life, right, catch up with your household chores. But give us the time to please get out. And certainly with flooded streets and canals, we do have a deadly situation with the rising water in a canal if the streets are flooding. And then the canals are high. You don't know where the road ends and the canal begins, right? So that's very, very dangerous for us. People with generators, a lot of people have generators now. You have to be very, very careful. That needs to be placed 15 feet away from any open windows or vents. We suggest carbon monoxide detectors, too, because we did lose three people after Ida from carbon monoxide death poisoning. So, again, it's these post-storm hazards that we need to be careful of. If there is flooding, you have to be a good neighbor and don't drive your car fast down a flooded street and push water into people's homes. And then the little things, like everybody wants to put their home back together again and they get on ladders and we have people falling off of ladders. Just, it's really time to be really, really careful because it's a different, it's not normal times after a storm. It's more vulnerable times for us. So.
Cynthia, that's projecting 3 to 6 inches of rain. Obviously, that's an issue depending on the duration, right, the period of time that it falls. Are y'all having any concerns? Are there any forecasting of any issues relative to this storm that kind of caught your attention?
Well, I think we're going into this storm with saturated grounds because we had so much, you know, rain last week. So that is something that we're talking about, that trees might fall quicker. That's a little concern we have. But, you know, like last week, there was some heavy rains, but overall, luckily, all the rain we had last week, our pumping capacity was able to keep up. So it's always for us, the rainfall is a timing thing. I mean, flooding obviously is the dangerous flooding is first, but the pumping capacity that we have, it's always a timing thing. So, you know, if we get one of these strong bands that's, you know, hang over us, we just want it to move through quickly and we will be able to keep up. That's always a concern we have, even not in a hurricane, but just in a regular thunderstorm. You know, there's possibility of tornadoes too. We're concerned about that. So all the hazards that this is bringing, but hopefully it did, the latest track, it did come closer to us, a little bit more eastward jog to it. So we continue to watch that. But I think the models are going to start, you know, coming together as we get closer to this. And we'll all be prepared. And everybody, you know, we always say, you know, the 911 system, call 911 if it's a life-threatening emergency. But for public works or a tree down or something that we need to know to move something, in the public right of way, we want you to call our Emergency Operations Center and report that at 504-349-5360. And also, we had, I think, did they say 2,000 more people joined our text alert system recently? So join our text alert system. It's JP Alert. You text JP Alert to 888-777. Or for our Spanish-speaking citizens, JP Noticias to 888-777. And let's get those numbers even higher. But I was pleased to know that we got another 2,000 people joining our text alerts.
Welcome back, folks. As we know, there's a storm brewing out in the Gulf, and it looks like the expected landfall is going to be at some point in time tomorrow morning. Francine is the name. They say it may be a Cat 1 or a Cat 2, yet to be determined. We can expect winds along the coastline around 100 miles an hour, and here in the metro area between 50 to 75 miles an hour. But if these are sustained winds over a period of time, we know what happens. This always causes issues for us. And here to discuss that is Cynthia Lee Shang, president of Jefferson Parish. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Noel.
So I know that so many hours out from landfall, y'all start pulling the triggers on all kinds of different things that y'all are doing in your preparation. So what's top of mind for y'all today?
Well, I mean, we've been working this event for the past couple of days. Our public works team is out there, and we're just making sure, you know, all of our backup fuel works and testing the equipment, and we're going into the storm with practically full pumping capacity. We have 194, and I think two were offline, but we've already replaced them with temporary pumps. So it's been a busy couple of days. I did declare a mandatory evacuation for all of the folks outside the levee protection system. So that's Grand Isle Lafitte, Barataria, Crown Point, and Lower Lafitte. So we're hoping that everybody gets out. And then, you know, really, since I know we still have about 50 trailers in the parish, you cannot go through this storm living in a mobile home or a trailer. So we're going to open up Terrytown Gym at 641 Heritage Avenue, which is a sturdy building. We're going to open that up at 4 o'clock. So if you at 4 p.m. today. So if you're in a mobile home or a trailer, we want you to come there. You're going to have to bring your own food and water to be able to stay there, but we will have cots. And most importantly, it's just a sturdy building to ride out this storm. And then certainly, you know, our EOC is already activated. I've been here this morning. I'll go out again and be back here tonight. But, you know, we know this drill. We just want everybody this is a little different, Noel, in that everybody's staying in place. And so my concern is, you will recall when we had Ida, we only lost one person during Ida, which, you know, God bless her, you and I knew her. But then we lost six other people post-Ida. So it really is the aftermath of the storm that has a lot of hazards for us. And with so many people staying, with nearly everybody staying for this storm, we just want people to be very careful and give us the time to get out there and make the community a little safer. Let us clear the roads out. Let us make sure all the traffic signals are working. Let us remove the debris from the roadway. Certainly at night, if we have a loss of electricity, it's very dangerous conditions. So we just want people to be very, very careful post-storm especially.
Lesson learned from Ida, I guess, Cynthia, you know, check in with your neighbors, especially elderly neighbors living alone, don't have any family here. It only takes a few minutes, right, to check in with those
it
folks,
does.
Even when the storm subsides and you're able to go outside. Just go walk down the street, knock on the door, and see how they're doing.
And you know my son Gavin. I mean, he drew a diagram last night of all the neighbors we know. And he says, I'm going to go walk the street and let them know we're staying and they're staying. And God bless him. He reminded me of my late husband, Stuart, which, you know, I'm getting personal, Noel, but like that's something Stuart would have done, you know, so. It was bittersweet for me to see that. But, yeah, check on your neighbors. Everybody's staying home, you know, and just enjoy the time at home. You're in a sturdy building. I said I'd clean my closets and I clean out my pantries and I do all the things that I couldn't do in regular life, right, catch up with your household chores. But give us the time to please get out. And certainly with flooded streets and canals, we do have a deadly situation with the rising water in a canal if the streets are flooding. And then the canals are high. You don't know where the road ends and the canal begins, right? So that's very, right. Very dangerous for us. People with generators, a lot of people have generators now. You have to be very, very careful. That needs to be placed 15 feet away from any open windows or vents. We suggest carbon monoxide detectors, too, because we did lose three people after Ida from carbon monoxide death poisoning. So, again, it's these post-storm hazards that we need to be careful of. If there is flooding, you have to be a good neighbor and don't drive your car fast down a flooded street and push water into people's homes. And then the little things, like everybody wants to put their home back together again and they get on ladders and we have people falling off of ladders. Just, it's really time to be really, really careful, because it's a different, it's not normal times after a storm. It's more vulnerable times for us. So,
Cynthia, they're projecting 3 to 6 inches of rain. Obviously, that's an issue depending on the duration, right? The period of time that it falls. Are y'all having any concerns? Are there any forecasting of any issues relative to this storm that kind of caught your attention?
Well, I think we're going into this storm with saturated grounds because we had so much, you know, rain last week. So that is something that we're talking about, that trees might fall quicker. That's a little concern we have. But, you know, like last week, there was some heavy rains, but overall, luckily, all the rain we had last week, our pumping capacity was able to keep up. So it's always, for us, the rainfall is a timing thing. I mean, flooding, obviously, is the dangerous flooding is first, but the pumping capacity that we have, it's always a timing thing. So, you know, if we get one of these strong bands that's, you know, hang over us, we just want it to move through quickly and we'll be able to keep up. That's always a concern we have, even not in a hurricane, but just in a regular thunderstorm. You know, there's possibility of tornadoes, too. We're concerned about that. So all the hazards that this is bringing, but hopefully it did, the latest track, it did come closer to us, a little bit more eastward jog to it. So we continue to watch that. But I think the models are going to start, you know, coming together as we get closer to this. And we'll all be prepared. And everybody, you know, we always say, you know, the 911 system, call 911 if it's a life-threatening emergency. But for public works or a tree down or something that we need to know to move something in the public right-of-way, we want you to call our Emergency Operations Center and report that at 504-349-5360. And also, we had, I think, did they say 2,000 more people joined our text alert system recently? So join our text alert system. It's JP Alert. You text JP Alert to 888-777. Or for our Spanish-speaking citizens, JP Noticias to 888-777. And let's get those numbers even higher. But I was pleased to know that we got another 2,000 people joining our text alerts.
As the storm is kind of leaning to the east and comes further east, obviously that presents bigger challenges for Lower Jefferson Parish, right? Grand Isle and through that area, Lafitte, Crown Point.
We're always concerned about, you know, Grand Isle and Lafitte. I'll be going to Lafitte in a little bit myself. We are sending them additional pumps. But, yeah, when they're outside, we know how, you know, we know what it looks like down there. With Ida, you know, I had to go by boat to Lafitte, and, you know, I had to get on a boat much earlier than I thought I would have. So, and then they do have a problem if the West Closure Complex has to get implemented, and we don't know. Right now, I think the latest is they don't have to close those gates, but, you know, that's always a concern for the people in Lafitte. But I've been on the phone with the mayor, Kerner, all the mayors, but especially Mayor Kerner and Mayor Carmadale. Mayor Carmadale said there were a lot of people leaving Grand Isle yesterday, so we really need those people to evacuate and get out of there. That's really tough for us. We're always very concerned about those folks who live outside the levee protection system.
I talked to someone who was down there retrieving items yesterday, and he said for some reason he felt like people were heeding the advice more this time than ever before, because there was a long, slow drive out of Grand Isle because of the number of people, which is good to hear, quite frankly.
It's good. And the mayor told me, Mayor Carmadale was saying people are leaving. There was a lot of activity, so that's good. And we wanted to issue that quickly, so, I mean, that people have you know, notice to say this is one way you need to leave. And we tried to get that word out very quickly. And I know the mayor's telling everybody to leave as well. So obviously, our government's closed tomorrow. No garbage or landfill is, you know, there won't be those services. And we'll probably make an announcement later today on what's going on Thursday. I have we're some of us are in a council meeting today, so we're just a little. When that meeting gets over, I'm going to meet with my team and have some more meetings, but we'll probably make announcements about Thursday for what the government looks like
later today.
Just please, everybody be safe. Like I said, it's the big message is, you know, post-storm is very dangerous. And so I did visit a hospital after one of those storms several years ago, and it was a lot of people who fell off of ladders and, you know, just doing household chores that they're not used to doing. So stay off the roads. Let us clear it. Let us make it safe for you. Bring in your garbage cans tonight. Bring in all anything that could be a projectile, and then hunker down and give us time to make sure the community is safe for you. That's all. That's the big message, Noel.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. The parish president of Jefferson Parish, Cynthia Lee Shang. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Noel. Bye-bye.
All righty, folks. LSU will shift to remote instruction for Wednesday and Thursday. And we're starting to get a lot more information. If you want us to get some news out on cancellations or otherwise, you can do so by calling in at 504-260-1870. Give us the information, or you can email me at newell@wwl.com, and I'm anticipating some notices coming this way of some cancellations. These are important to get out. Why? Because there's no need for you to be out on the street, right? It's no need to get, you know, to risk getting into an accident or flooding your vehicle out or whatever it may be, whatever the challenges are. That are out there, and we never know. I mean, this thing could come up here and not drop as much rain, and who knows? It could end up with the sun come out. That's happened in my 40-year career a bunch of times where we were so totally prepared, and then it was nothing, and it's like a good nothing, right? You know, you just kind of move on, and you don't worry about it any longer. Tonight's a big night, though. 8 o'clock. And we'll be broadcasting the presidential debate on WWL. It'll be on a simulcast on a number of television stations as well. We're going to talk to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, in the back half of the 11 o'clock hour about what the expectations are. There's a lot of pressure. You know, typically these presidential debates don't really become defining moments much for political campaigns. This one's different. I mean, we had, if you recall, an earlier debate between former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden, and it didn't go well for President Biden. And now he's no longer in the race, and his vice president is in the race now. Different dynamic, different type of challenger here. So it's going to be interesting to see what will ultimately happen. But for me, you know, I hope to find out about Trump's position on these tariffs and what does that actually mean to the economy. How is that going to equate to helping the economy? Because more often than not, tariffs lead to price increases. Price increases are paid by consumers. On the flip side, corporate taxes. There's been a number of articles over the past 2 to 3 days about the impact of corporate taxes. Corporations don't pay taxes. Those are passed on to the investors, to the consumers, and usually lead to staff reductions in order to become lean again, because they have an IRR, an internal rate of return, that they're looking at as it relates to a number of other financial analytical tools that they're looking at as to where they need to be in order to cover covenants or bond and debt indebtedness or debentures or however other financing tool that's created debt for them. Of where they need to be. Once they conduct that analysis, they have to figure out the best way to go about doing it. You know, when it comes to pricing, they're going to be looking at What are other people charging? Is there room to actually charge more? If not, then they got to move to a different plan. So it's going to be interesting to see. And hopefully the questions that are asked, the follow-up questions, will demand a more robust explanation as to how that's going to actually, one, help with the debt structure of this country, and two, what is it going to mean to the consumer? It's a nice thing to talk about all these tax cuts, and all of them are doing this. So this is no pro-R, pro-D, or anti-R, anti-D conversation. They all do certain things. But are they truly doing things positively for the economy and positively for the consumer? I've had economists, you know, from all walks of life and where they fall out on different economic models. And it's been interesting to hear what they say. What I've not heard yet, not once from anyone, is a plan that reduces debt. And every one of these plans that has been put out there and policy proposals, for the most part, are going to increase debt. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination. And unless we get into reducing debt real soon, we're going to continue to have all kinds of issues here. It's going to be a very volatile economy. And that's what a lot of people are recognizing, is that we've got to get this under control. I want to find out where, you know, the vice president is on a number of issues that she's basically flip-flopped. I mean, it's been one thing after the next. They just revealed yesterday a questionnaire that was provided by the American Civil Liberties Union in 2020 when Kamala Harris was a candidate for Senate, I mean for president. She was a senator at the time. She expressed support in answering his questionnaire for decriminalizing federal drug possession for personal use. That's all drugs. Sweeping reductions to immigration and custom enforcement operations, including drastic cuts in ICE funding and an open-ended pledge to end immigration detention. She would eliminate detention centers for immigration, is how she answered these questions here. She also said that it's important that transgender individuals who rely on the state for care receive treatment they need, which includes access to treatment associated with gender transition. And that's why she said, as an attorney general, I pushed the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to provide, these are inmates, gender transition surgery to state inmates. Then Senator Harris explained that she supported granting prisoners and detainees access to surgical care for gender transition. She says that transition treatment is a medical necessity and that she will direct all federal agencies responsible for providing essential medical care to deliver transition treatment. So we've heard a lot about this, you know, and she also said that she supports having a third gender category on government identification documents. So, you know, she claims her values have not changed, but how did these types of stances evolve if your values don't change? It's a head scratcher to me. Now, what I'm not surprised at is that the ACLU told CNN the other day they don't plan on sending her another questionnaire this year. You think that's a coincidence? CNN asked the Harris campaign if she still supports these positions. Guess what the response was? No, go ahead. You can guess. Go ahead. It's okay. It's all right. Go ahead. Do it. The Harris campaign, they didn't answer the questions from CNN on whether she continued to support these positions, and instead provided a statement attributable only to an unnamed Harris campaign advisor. saying that the vice president's positions have been shaped by 3 years of effective governance as part of the Biden-Harris administration. They declined to elaborate on what her positions were. They also provided a comment attributed to a Harris campaign spokesperson saying, as president, she will take the same pragmatic approach, focusing on common sense solutions for the sake of progress. Now, Bernie Sanders says she's taken that pragmatic support to support the right things in order to get elected. That's what she meant to say, right? But there was so much pushback from what Bernie Sanders saying. She's a chameleon. That's what she is. Do you think we'll get any explanation as where we are on those issues? Maybe we could find out the financial data to see how much this is actually going to cost the taxpayers, because you're paying for all of this. They're not, right? And if you don't think this can happen, well, hold on to your seats. Because right now in New York, there is a bill that has been proposed for trans prisoners in New York City to access gender-affirming devices such as prosthetic penises, breasts, under a new bill proposed by a Democratic lawmaker. Councilwoman Crystal Hudson's bill would also give guards at the New York City prisons access to items to provide to the inmates, like breast binders, wigs, tucking undergarments, and the like. So we want to put, as well as hair extensions, prosthetic devices, medical devices that are used by individuals to affirm their self-determined gender identity while they are in prison. Because we should be concerned about how they present themselves while they're sitting behind bars paying their debt to society. We did not know that there was a debt that we were paying and we're going to be compelled to pay to them to be able to support their gender identity. One thing about the bill, so that we're full transparency, they hadn't figured out who's going to pay for this, whether they're going to have the taxpayers pay for it or make it available for the inmate to purchase. And they've already figured out that the following items would cost the following amounts. So they checked out Amazon. Amazon sells prosthetic penises for about $130. They sell tucking undergarments for about $15 and silicone breasts for $39. And that's not on sale. They may go on sale once all these prisons across the country decide that they're going to do this. Currently, we're going through this entire silly exercise because in the New York City DOC institutions, they hold 6,135 detainees, and we're spending all this time on 42 of them to make sure that they be looking good while they are in prison. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back from the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Derek Henderson on the NOLA Coalition segment with the organization Don't Stop Dreaming. It's an enrichment program, and we'll talk about how he is transforming the futures of young people in New Orleans. In the back half of that hour, we'll visit with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. And we'll also visit with Craig from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service about generator care and what to do, what not to do. And if you've got some questions, we can go to the talk lines as well. So check in with us and we'll talk generators at the end of the 11 o'clock hour. We will be right back. So stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.